Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Chris and Andre Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Chris and Andre Show. We're glad you joined us. If you haven't checked out our new website, it looks dope. Our logo's dope. Chris is rocking some swag that will be hitting the market soon. It's out in the wild. He's repping the Chris and Andre Show out in Colorado. And I'm Andre, of course. And
I'm Chris, the guy that he was talking about earlier.
We have friend of the show, Joe, here. Joe, good to see you.
Oh, thanks for looking at me.
Well, dude over there high with that thick, burly beard. But today we have another guest, and because my squad rolls deep, it's actually my son, and an accomplished musician, member of the group Young Bull. We've been trying to get him on our podcast for a while. I always share his music. Hopefully I'm helping him to get, you know, additional fans, and people always give a lot of love to what he does. And I'm glad he's here. So I'd like to introduce Christian Sinclair Powell. I either call him Chris, Bub, or Sin.
Sorry, people will be wondering if you named him after the podcast.
that would even worse. Yeah, that would be weird. But Chris,
ambitions and hopes.
Yeah, one day I'll have a podcast. I'll name it the Chris and Andre Show, and I'll name my son that preemptively.
So Chris, we're really glad you're here, and thank you. Of course, I love you, and it's dope that you're hanging out with us.
Yeah, glad to be here. Yeah. Love you too. Love all you guys.
Do any of your offspring have daddy issues? Do you just not permit them to have that? You literally have the most wholesome family I've ever seen.
We got problems, but you know, we really commit to try to work through them. Like, for example, yesterday with my youngest son, we had a heated conversation, and I heard about this. Yeah, we had to take a 24-hour cooling off period.
You guys had to go to your corners.
Yeah, we were not seeing eye to eye, but I did tell him before we got. I was working. I was like, I love you. I don't want to. You know, that's never a question, but we have problems and we work through them, right, Chris?
Yeah, I think it ties in a lot too. I heard this. There was a study about when not to have difficult conversations, and most of them are on or through technology. Like, you're more likely to have a disagreement over the phone than in person, or don't start a tough conversation while you're driving a car.
Oh yeah.
or have tough conversations not after dinner at night too late, stuff like that. So
no, I think Andre had given me the advice at one point, you should always try to take somebody out to eat something when you're going to have a semi-difficult conversation, because it's really hard for people to be upset and eating at the same time.
It worked great last summer.
But to be fair, it all went south after the meal.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
As it does.
But the meal itself, everybody enjoyed, which I think was what they were really going for. So.
Yeah. So anyway, let's give it some quick hits.
Quick hits.
Starting it off, it looks like the journalists out there are having a field day with President Biden referring to Ducey from Fox News as a stupid son of a bitch at his recent press conference. I thought it was hilarious, and my only piece is, I think it's very disingenuous that people are saying that the president should not be able to say that. When we let for 4.5 years,
we're just gonna be blinded. We're just gonna pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah, Nacho Lucho just go through and
we're gonna pretend by grabbing by the P word this never happened.
Yeah, so that's all I gotta say. I thought it was hilarious, and I will always say I think Biden's got some low key G energy going on. So
yeah, when he has it, when he's got the energy.
So Joe, you go first. You got something to say?
No, that's it. I'm just worried about his energy levels. I think he needs to get some ginkgo biloba in his system. Sometimes he does look tired.
Well, can you really be tough if you have a secret service? It's like saying the hold me back method, where it's like you're not tough, dude. Like you have the U.S. military, the secret service, FBI. You have all these people protecting you. It's like punching someone in front
of... He rolls deep. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's like, all right, tough guy. Yeah, I'm a bitch. Okay.
So on Andre's point, like, Representative Jim Banks from, let's see, Indiana, I believe, tweeted out today, have we ever seen a president attack and malign the free press like Joe Biden has?
I don't think Joe knows when he's in public. I think he's kind of...
I don't think he knows what a hot mic is part of it.
Here's what I want to say, because I've been saying, I think dude's got some G energy, yeah, because I don't think he cares.
No, it's...
Like,
it's
a good age.
I really don't think he cares. So, yeah. Anyway, enough with that. Next.
Well, he's done worse.
This is going to... Like, the playoff weekend for me, I know everybody, it was a great weekend. The games that were won spectacularly. You got to give love and props to everybody that played, all the teams, actually. I do want to say I was, like, low-key pulling for Tom Brady, just for the old guys out here. But it was great that Von Miller, my dude, that warrior...
Yeah, I'm like, what are you talking about? You pulling for Tom Brady? We literally sat here last week and said, he might be a good dude. I might like him more that he's not in New England now. But there is no way in hell I want to see that guy go to another freaking... Do you realize this is the first championship weekend we will have in the last, like, 13 years that
12,
won't have...
12 years. Okay,
that doesn't have Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers in it? Thank God!
Yeah.
Like, let somebody else go win for once. Not like let, but I'm ready for someone other than Tom Brady to go win some Super Bowls or championship appearances, I guess. Like, I mean, I'd love for a team that I root for to do it. I guess I'm gonna have to hope that the Bengals can pull off the upset. And
you mean NC State?
Yeah, the NC State Bengals.
Okay. Sin, what do you got?
Cincinnati Wolfpack.
What is it? The Brady's out? Is that what...
Yeah, so Brady and Rodgers are both out of the playoffs now.
It's interesting. I don't know. I haven't watched... I'm a little underprepared for this part. I haven't watched football in a couple years, but I agree with you. I think Brady has kids, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, take a few months off, go home, hang out. That's fair. His kids are probably happy to have him back home.
That's fair. Next. This is probably very near and dear to my heart. I got an email today from the boys and girls at Docker. They are scraping for trying to fund their journey. So, to paraphrase the email, it's basically saying, we updated our terms of service. And if you're a company that makes X amount of dollars, you have to pay $5 per user to use Docker.
Yeah, sure.
All I got to say is, man, they started out so hot, really did. Everybody was like all over Docker when the technology was like in its infancy. And I always kept saying, and Chris can attest to this, that this is not the way to go. This is like overblown, ain't going to work out. And here we are, what, 5 years later?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's fizzling out.
Well, and I think, like, we've talked about this before. The idea behind Docker running, like, virtual machines or doing cloud computing in these smaller containers or containerized portions of hard drives, like, yeah, there's a purpose for it. But as usual, like, I think Docker's gotten to the point now where they think their shit doesn't stink. You know, it's like, we can do no wrong. Everybody needs to come use Docker for everything. And on top of that, you ran into the, like, look what I can put in a container. And it's like, you can literally put anything in a container. That's not the point. Like, you shouldn't just be doing this stuff just to do it. But...
Yeah. Anyway, and I know that's like probably way out of left field for you other guys, for Chris and Joe, but I just want to acknowledge the fact that I got an email today from Docker asking me for my money.
Yeah.
Well, from a business standpoint, I kind of understand it from like a small startup kind of company. Or no? Yeah.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. They're humongous. Yeah.
They were a startup for sure. But yeah, they are the leading container platform out there, right? For service.
For like cloud.
For cloud stuff. Sure. Yeah.
The problem I have with Docker is that they're another company that tried to, like, I think you can make money with open source software in that environment. Your mission's got to be clear at the beginning.
Yeah, it's tough to pull off, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I think they lost their way because they drink their own Kool-Aid. And I don't want them to fail. I just think that it's just a warning for other companies coming up. Hey, be strategic and smart about how you grow. And you can eat your own dog food, but don't drink the Kool-Aid.
So. Yeah, and small is probably the way to stay, right?
No, I don't think small is necessary. I don't think big is bad. I just think that companies have a tendency to, they look at valuation, they look at, adoption of their technology, especially in the tech space, and they forget that it's a journey. It's not a sprint.
Yeah.
Well, and I think a lot of the times you end up with growth for the sake of growth, right? The company doesn't necessarily need to grow. There isn't really the opportunity, but like you're going to bring on a whole bunch of new employees to make yourself look bigger, right? To make like, oh, we need these people in these roles if we're going to be taken seriously within the industry. And so, I think to Andre's point, it's like, just stick with what got you here in the first place, and far too often, I think, like, just the mission gets lost.
Okay. Next. Oh, Kristen Cinema.
Is it Kristen or Kirsten?
Kristen, whatever.
It doesn't really matter, but, like, I hear it pronounced both ways all the time, so I'm just trying to make sure.
It is Kirsten, yeah. Oh, she got censured by the Democrats in Arizona. My only point in this is, like, and I mentioned this last week, that Democrats typically, they play politics with a butter knife while the Republicans have a butcher's knife. They just got to play.
I think they play with the butcher knife behind their back. Like.
No, they don't. They're the most ineffective.
Butcher knife behind their back? The Republicans?
The Democrats. The Democrats.
Oh, okay. They might play with a bigger butcher knife. It's a little tough because I think it's a more sophisticated. I don't know. This might not be a quick topic, but it's a little bit more sophisticated. So if you think about the idea of welfare, like some pushing welfare, it seems on surface like, oh, that's a good idea. Sure, why not? But then when it plays out, it's like, oh, you're actually taking away the ability for certain people to implement. Like it's kind of like drug dealing, where it's like, oh, now sure they're performing better a little bit, but it's like now they have this extra need or extra reliance on this thing that you've been providing.
Yeah, that's a rabbit hole, because the rabbit hole you're walking into, I'm gonna just like I will. It's not a sound argument. Because like welfare in general came about with the Big New Deal, or whatever the New Deal was called, whatever that official term was,
the Green New Deal,
whatever. Like right after the Depression, right? It's been systematically used more in poor rural areas by whites.
Sure, it's not a race thing.
No, I'm just saying like the Democrats did not even come up with the idea of the program itself. So.
Well, but
that's not.
They eventually put it more of the thing that they're a part of rather than conservatives over time.
That's not true. That's even not true. It's a misnomer. And I actually used to actually agree.
You hear more conservatives today saying, hey, let's do more welfare, as opposed to Democrats today.
Actually, nobody talks about welfare.
Out of the two of those, who do you hear bring up more?
None. Social programs.
Then.
Social programs, yes, but they've switched the whole dynamic to social programs such as education and medical benefits.
But I think that's a good point, and maybe that's where there's like the disconnect, right? Is that welfare itself, I think, is often viewed as like getting literal cash or like food stamps, right, from the government. But I think, to your point, like there's some of that definitely still goes on, but there's been at least a bit of a shift towards, well, how can we provide like education or training for these individuals to be able to step out of this? This isn't, because I hear what you're saying, Chris, like I don't want welfare to be like the crutch that somebody becomes dependent on, right? And I think like that's the argument that we hear a lot of times, is like, well, if you give it to them, then they're just going to expect it, or now it's like, well, I don't have to work to get it. I think we need programs in place that help people to get from point A to point B in a clear, concise, direct way. It's
Yeah.
And I am pro work requirements. Like, I've always been pro work requirements. I've seen people sell food stamps. I've seen people that, like, have this whole system of, you know, if you get, like, 75 cents on a dollar or 50 cents, 50 to 75 cents on a dollar for food stamps, yeah, that's a great deal, yeah. Right? If you can actually get these benefits and not have to prove that you work or you work for 3 months and quit, that's a great deal. I'm all about, like, eliminating all that crap and giving it to people that actually need it. And one thing that actually really makes me remember that is in 08 and 09, when there was a lot of middle-class people that lost their jobs and lost everything, those middle-class people couldn't get any help from any social program in our system, whether it be state and or federal.
Well, that's so, in a moment like 2008, that's where it comes blatantly obvious that neither of the parties are on the people's side.
And we can agree on that. Yep.
Yeah,
we can agree.
I mean, and even
it's only.
I don't think that much different now, 14 years later, than they were in 2008.
No.
Right? Like,
no,
the country's
not.
Not in the same position. But
no. To my point, and back to circle back around to Kirsten Sinema. Yo, play better ball. Get people that actually represent the people of whatever state that is or locality. Hey, all for that, all day long, Kirsten. I think she played, you know, I'm not a big fan. So that's all I got.
No.
All right, next. Please, everybody, stop playing with Bitcoin.
All right. I want to hear Chris's opinion on this because you are the youngest of any of us that are here, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, what is your take on the whole crypto scene? Not even just like specifically Bitcoin, but I think Andre and I have looked at this and we can't help but say, like, this is the world's biggest scam that's ever been portrayed.
No,
like,
it is. It 100% is.
Okay.
Can I curse on here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's this show I watch that does, like, it's kind of like the American Idol for comedians called Kill Tony. And there's this comedian on there who a few months ago, he was like, yeah, man, I don't really trust, his name's David Lucas. They don't really trust Bitcoin. Too many hood niggas know about it. And that's kind of my thing about it. It's like, pretty much any time that the top comes down to say, and this is a little bit different because it's presented as grassroots.
Right.
But when there's anyone that says, hey, man, this is a good idea for you, it's like, okay. No, man, no.
Good idea.
Why would they be bothering to tell you that it's a good idea for you to invest in Bitcoin if there wasn't something ultimately in it for them?
Yeah, and especially a long time ago, there's a lot of dangerous people. Well, there's some speculation about, I think it's a Russian guy, I think Soros or something like that. People were in it.
Jewish.
People were in it a long time ago, which is another thing. People were in it a long time ago. I'm kidding,
Well, it was nice having Chris on the podcast.
I'm kidding. People were in it a long time ago, and they're handing out a large amount of Bitcoin. It's pretty much like you're saying. It's another pyramid scheme. It's a nonsense.
So, like, I think I told you about this, Andre. Like, my dad had a guy that he used to work with who runs a company now, and he reached out to him because he had this idea where he was going to start getting his employees. He was going to encourage them to start taking at least part of their paychecks in Bitcoin or some other cryptocurrency, right?
Yeah.
And my dad's like, so I'm really thinking I got to get into cryptocurrency. And he's like, I want you to sit in and listen to this presentation that Kirk's going to give so that, you know, I can get your opinion on it. And I'm like, all right, I'm not really big on Bitcoin. I don't know that much, but I'm glad to sit in and just listen and then give you my 2 cents.
Sure thing.
That was the, like, worst pitch. And not like not because the guy was saying anything wrong, but it just kept coming back to him, like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, I hear what you're saying, and I hear the logic that you're trying to ascribe to it, but ultimately, it's a fixed system that somebody is manipulating. Like, it's forced manipulation of the market in order to determine the value when you, like, are having what's left every so often. It just doesn't... And then I kept trying to get my dad. I'm like, what is in it for him? There's got to be some reason that he wants his employees to take this. It's not because he thinks it's in their best interest. Yeah, like he's getting some kickback, right? Or he sees it as a way to increase the value of his Bitcoin, if, even if it's just that. But it's like, no, I'm sorry. I've just gotten to the point where there are very few people that I feel like do things truly altruistically, you know?
No.
Okay, hold on real quick. In reference to, you know, bullshit startup things like that. Back in the day when people didn't know GameStop had a credit card tied to it. When I was happened to be right when I was working, they started doing credit card fiasco. They made it mandatory that every employee learn the process of how to get people to sign up for the credit card by applying for them for it themselves. I literally told my general manager at the meeting, regional meeting, fuck that, I'm not doing that. And he's like, why not? I'm like, because it's going to mess my credit. Yes. He's like, yeah, but I mean, it's going to only going to take like 15 points.
They tried to run that scam all throughout retail as well. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, by the way, my best friend is Jewish. So.
That's cool. My best friend is black.
You guys, all three of you are idiots. Well, thank you. Next. So, there's a little bit of hate coming out of the studios at Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm.
One of the execs is like basically saying, Arcane will not be the golden standard for animation. And he just started throwing shade. They had 6 years to develop the show. They had this large budget. And it only goes to Netflix. The show is only going to be on Netflix. And I'm like, yo, but can't you raise the bar? That's all I got out of the whole thing. I'm like, but they raised the bar on storytelling, animation, introducing characters, introducing all the things that people want to introduce in like the modern media presence today, flawlessly.
Yeah, they made it grown up.
Next.
Nobody else even gets to say anything. Andre's just like,
no. I'm saying next to Adult Swim. It's like everything they were able to accomplish. You kind of done it with Venture Brothers and a couple shows. A lot of the shows they have, they've got bits and pieces of what Arcane was able to do. So
look how long it took Venture Brothers to get.
I am not disputing that. My point is like, try harder. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, and I think like, there's something to be said for allowing time to invest and create these shows, right? If you're really behind it and you think that it's ultimately going to be a good show, if it takes you 6 years to do it, I understand from a business standpoint, like not everybody looks that way, but obviously Netflix looked at it and was like, no, we think we can make some money off of this. So I don't know.
Oh,
I'm sure a lot of it is just Adult Swim sitting there being like, oh crap, somebody's coming after our, you know, animation.
Our market.
Market. Of course, what else would you expect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. You gotta be careful when, like, most people that are giving their instant reaction on things, especially people that have interest in a company, not like another, like it's, in this case, it sounds like there's competitors involved. You got to pretty much just say whatever they're saying is just manipulative.
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, Adult Swim doesn't have any of their stuff on Netflix. I think they're partnered with Hulu. Yeah. So why on earth would he ever say something nice about anything on Netflix? Like he has no financial interest in that. So
exactly.
Here we go. Next.
That was it, wasn't it?
All right. So this is the thing. These next couple of things that we're going to talk about. I know that these guys are chomping at.
I'm going to play the bump, and I'm going to grab another beer or two because, oh my God, I can't wait to dig into this one.
Pop culture.
Wow, that was timed perfectly.
That's what I do.
So, I watched Spider-Man No Way Home, and all I can say is I tried to be as I don't know the word.
Objective.
Objective. Here's my grade.
Did you watch it?
So, So I watched Spider-Man No Way Home, and all I can give it is a B.
Yeah, B plus, on a, right? On a scale of F to B.
No, just like all the way around, man. Like, okay. Like, and I would watch. All right, when I give a movie a B, that means I'll watch it again.
Yeah.
If it's a C, I'm never gonna watch that movie again.
Okay.
Right.
Jesus. You know? A C?
Yeah, I'm never...
never gonna watch it again. Wow, you would have kicked me out of school, man. You would have hate me.
Okay, so
it's like you're not.
What do you mean? Not a decent idea with dress code.
I enjoyed the movie. So let me. I ignored that because I was trying to get my point. I enjoyed the movie.
Oh, I'm beneath.
No,
you.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. I enjoyed the.
I truly am beneath you.
I enjoyed the movie.
Get it out.
I didn't like. There were enough good things about the movie that made me kind of be okay with the things I didn't like about it.
Okay.
Here are the things I liked about it. I liked the fact that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield were in the movie.
Good.
I liked the fact that they had Doctor Strange trying to fix the problem.
Okay.
Basically, because that was the only way to fix that problem. I like the fact that there was a little bit of the personal struggles of Peter Parker in this whole new world of like trying to figure out how to do what's next.
It's a whole new world.
But what I didn't like was they killed Aunt May. I didn't like the fact of how they.
I loved that.
I hated that. I didn't like the...
Finally killing her. Thank God. They've been beating around that bush for so many years. That's a comic book necessary, sir. That needs to happen to Peter Parker at least once in one of these timelines. So I was happy that they did that.
Yeah, it's...
Let me finish.
Yeah, okay.
All right. I didn't like how they introduced Toby and Andrew Garfield in the movie. I didn't like...
You know what we didn't do before we started this? I don't mean to dinner, but we've totally... I mean, these are all spoilers, basically, that you've been giving away.
Oh,
I know the movie's been out for a
At this point, if you haven't
I'm just
seen
saying,
it.
Like, we did our 100% spoiler-free Spider-Man No Way Home, and this will be our 100% spoiler-filled No Way Home review. So I just want to clarify for everybody.
I did not enjoy the movie. I did not enjoy.
You gave it a B.
Like, I'm sorry. I didn't. There, I'm,
I don't understand.
I'm going. I'm sorry. Let me. It's a B.
Stop playing with my emotions.
It's a B. It's not like it wasn't. It proved to me that Andrew Garfield was probably the Spider-Man they should have brought to the MCU, and they should have kept Tom Holland in the Sonyverse, because I don't see the value of. They kept doing little things like, oh, you're MJ, Michelle Jones. Like they kept doing those little things enough to where it just annoyed the crap out of me. And
that's a Sony problem.
Sure, whatever. But
Sony made them the deal with they have Sony. They can't do that. They can't do direct ties.
That's
like
my
that.
It made the movie not. Those are things about the movie I did not like. It was you don't have to.
This is what I think about what's happened to all of these. Types of movies. There was a point where it seemed like an interesting addition. Now it seems like they've taken one step, one direction. Now they're like, oh yeah, this is a thing we did. And then in order to save that effort of like continuing an idea, instead of being, hey, you know, this is silly, we should try something else, which I always wonder, like, can't we do something else? How old is this idea? It's almost 100 years old, right? Aren't these some of these comics like...
No, you're like making me really old, but they're like probably they're 50
30
years old.
Okay, I'm way off, but I'm way wrong on that. But it's old enough to where there's been enough time to where it's like you're kind of ruining something that was like really special at one point. In an effort.
I actually agree with that. I do believe that both DC and Marvel need to do a better job of introducing new characters. They can run those characters in parallel with existing characters, but I think they do a crappy job of like reimagining these characters.
Okay.
Yeah, let's be honest, Joe.
When it comes to comic books, there are very few people who are really fucking like true comic book fans who would go to as far as putting a wall of comic books behind them. I sleep next to this. There's not many people that would do that. So when people see these characters, they don't. For example, Moon Knight. I'm looking forward to that. But Moon Knight is never going to be as good as Spider-Man. And it's not because he's not going to have a good storyline. He's not going to have enough
the
action.
Character or the character or the show?
The film, the whatever, the film, show, whatever. It's not going to be as good as Spider-Man in the sense that people, it's not as recognizable. It doesn't have that name brand recognition. Mm-hmm. So in order for Marvel and Sony and DC to go forward, they have to pick and choose which heroes they're going to present or that are Marvel.
I don't disagree with that, but
yeah.
Spider-Man No Way Home, they shot themselves in the foot by bringing Tobey Maguire Andrew Garfield into the movie.
So is
because
it...
and they drop this. Hold on, they drop this one little nugget that made me really pissed when Jamie Foxx says, "Oh, you're from Queens. You help poor people. Blah blah blah. I thought you were black." That was a Miles Morales.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. That was a great reference.
I don't understand.
It was a Miles Morales. It was a Miles Morales like nugget right there, and I was like,
I might have missed your point about the moonlight in the Spider-Man.
Oh, Moon Knight.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, so Marvel and DC have had a history where they both companies almost went out of business because of lack of demand. People would buy the hell out of their comic books. People would love it. But as soon as a boring storyline came in, they would drop it in the masses. And that wasn't sustainable. So that's what led to Marvel selling their movie and TV rights to other companies to stay afloat. So now that leads us into nowadays where Marvel or Disney owns Marvel. Disney almost has everything except for Sony. Sony has pretty much the last bit.
They have the golden nugget.
I mean, they own Venom.
Don't
get me to another conversation about that. But anyway, they're holding off on a very pivotal character that's connected to a bunch of other things. They can get that, they can't do stuff like with the Fantastic Four. Because Spider-Man and Fantastic Four are together.
Well, this will...
they're just like She-Hulk is together. But to summarize, what I'm saying is you have to go into this thinking this shouldn't be a one-to-one reenactment of the comic books to the movies. This needs to be a buffet of choices because everyone has a different reason why they want to watch these shows. And we're way past the point where people are jaded. They don't, like, there are true people, there are people, the normies, who don't want to see any more commercials about superheroes because they're sick and tired of it. But so as a market, they have to try to diversify and get as much of the audience as they can. And that's why I like this movie so much, is because it pretty much broke all the barriers between the different franchises. It showed that everything is in continuity and everything has a place within this multiverse.
So as a fan of the original content, is their addition to what they're doing to the characters and the life of the characters adding to or taking away from?
It's taken away.
But
what do you got?
My
you
argument
think?
Is how can it possibly take away from when the other storyline has already been written? Like, you got to enjoy that original storyline. This is just a different version of it. I don't understand I know I've been picking on this, but this is like your opinion on Guardians of the Galaxy 2, where you're like, garbage. Oh, the first one sucks more because they made another one. Like, I just don't understand that. You should be able, I look at things and I say, I can appreciate each thing on its individual merits, right? I can read a comic, like I can read Game of Thrones, right? I can read the stories from Game of Thrones and I really enjoyed the books, right? I can watch the show and say there are parts of the show that I really enjoyed, like seeing elements of that brought to life. Did they do what I hoped they would do? No, but I'm not George R. R. Martin. And they don't owe me anything just because I read the books.
Yeah. Like, so the original, content is so strong that there's no later thing that they can do to it to take away from the original value. Is that what you're saying?
I just don't understand personally how like something that's created after something that you've already enjoyed somehow taints
takes
your
away from the original
opinion,
enjoyment.
Removes the joy that you once experienced when you first watched that.
No. You're missing me. And I've said this before. I understand that they have to make movies for people to introduce the characters to. I understand that, right? I'm saying honestly, it's like, yeah, I get it. I can accept that part. I just didn't enjoy the movie.
No, and I get, like, because I know your main issue is that you don't like young Spider-Man being in the current MCU with everything that's going on. And that's where I feel.
And we discussed how that
is. And that's where I feel like
in
No Way Home, it kind of brought a lot of those things together, where it's like.
No, it only brings it together if they replace Tom Holland with Andrew Garfield.
But
I agree. I mean, I feel that way. Because
you can't do that because Andrew Garfield went back to his own multiverse.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not Spider-Man is one of my favorite superheroes.
Yeah.
Period. Right. I know a lot about Spider-Man, and it's like, okay, I can accept what they're doing.
Okay.
I don't necessarily agree or like the storylines. I think that every movie that all the ones he's been Far From Home, Homecoming, all that crap. I think they're just like an extra story that don't really fit into the Marvel Cinematic Universe at all. I think they're their own like parallel everything. And that's what
Think it's like a stylistic thing? Do you feel like they just don't fit in with those movies? Like when you watch Spider-Man, you don't feel like you're watching part of the greater Marvel Cinematic Universe, is what you're saying?
Yeah, actually, I think the way they introduced him in Civil War, it didn't make sense. It was cool to see him, but it didn't make sense at all.
Why do you say that? I don't understand. So,
may I get between the parents?
We're not fighting. I'm not yelling. I'm asking questions because I really like. I want to try and understand this. Just real quick, I want to give my two cents on that. Right, like on the introduction of Spider-Man and what they did with this version of it. I'd watched Tobey Maguire 1, 2, 3. I watched Andrew Garfield 1 and 2. I have seen the Spider-Man origin story more times than I've probably seen the freaking Batman origin story. Do you know what I don't care about?
Yeah,
Batman's
truth.
Fucking origin
like
story.
Racing.
I don't care anymore. I don't.
It's not.
No. Hold on. That's what I'm saying is that in this, you didn't get an origin story for Spider-Man, right? Like he just shows up in a movie. All of a sudden, it's like, oh shit, there's Spider-Man. And then they go back and they're like, here's what's happening with Spider-Man. But we all know the basics of what's happened to get him to this point. We don't want to retell that because you've seen it so many times.
My point is this. If they would have done, even when Tony Stark shows up at Peter Parker's house, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, this is you? He's stalking him on YouTube.
Yeah.
If they would have done a movie that kind of like made that.
A little montage?
Even a montage. I would have taken something that gives that more context, and then I probably would have been okay with Tom Holland and Spider-Man. It was just kind of like, oh, we're just going to throw this in here, and then
I'm jumping in here because you both are going around the same circle in this. This is Sony.
Yes, I don't disagree.
Because in order to understand get a little more of his backstory, you had to go on YouTube.
Right.
You had to go to all these like other streaming networks to get small little pieces. They're not in the movie, just small little pieces, throwaway gags that give some more ideas.
So Sony owns the rights. So I have no idea what you guys are talking about. So Sony owns the rights to that part of the story.
Movie
well,
rights.
They own the rights to Spider-Man, right? Like they
except for
the broadcast.
Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good. But yes, that is part of the issue, right? X-Men, Fantastic Four, like Marvel sold off these properties for the broadcast rights because they were trying to keep themselves afloat and at the time didn't have Marvel Studios to be able to do all this stuff themselves or the backing from, Disney. And
so that's my frustration. It's not that Spider-Man, like he's still one of my favorite heroes.
Yeah, I get
that. I think the way they brought him into or they're trying to keep him in this universe is kind of wonky. And that's like and I go back to that same piece of like, you should have made the first standalone movie where you kind of marry the Tony Stark relationship with Spider-Man.
See, but my issue with the first two Spider-Man movie was that I didn't even feel like they were really Spider-Man movies. They were Iron Man movies with Spider-Man.
You're talking about the
oh, sure. Okay, that's...
And
but
I
that's
didn't
like
enjoy
getting
that,
into,
right? Like,
that's getting into the details.
This one I felt like was more a Spider-Man movie, right? Like it was really focused on this. And so that's part of the reason maybe that I enjoyed it that much more was because I felt slightly disappointed in the first two. And this one really delivered what I had been looking for, like a Spider-Man centric.
And I'm just saying, like the way that he's introduced in the MCU, just didn't make sense and still doesn't make sense to me. And then you get them in Civil War. And it's kind of like, eh, okay. But I don't want to take up too much time with this. It's a good movie. I'll watch it again. I'm excited about the Andrew Garfield doing Spider-Man 3.
But that's all theoretically, right? They haven't...
It's moving forward.
Okay.
So Andrew Garfield's going to do a third Spider-Man. He's going to fight... He's going to be Venom or fight Venom or somehow or another. Peacemaker.
Well, okay, real quick before we do that, the last thing that I just wanted to wrap up on the Spider-Man thread. Damn it, now you made me forget it because you said Peacemaker and I got all excited. That's fine. Okay.
I'll go then. They clearly have no idea what they wanted to do with Venom. And that was
a waste.
And two, that movie saved The Amazing Spider-Man for me. I have never watched all of the major Amazing Spider-Man. I made it halfway through the first one and I thought it was garbage. The second one, I tried to give it 15 minutes, and as soon as I saw Blueskin, bro,
yeah, I'm like, this is terrible garbage.
Now that I've seen him, especially the whole him catching,
catching MJ.
Jane, that was perfect. Whoever I called that. Look on one of my TikTok videos.
There was
videos.
Too
I
much emotion
shit.
In that movie, and I didn't.
But but when it brought such interest into the character again that I'm starting to rewatch.
Don't give me that look.
No, give it
there's
mine.
Too
it's
much
hard.
Emotion. You don't like it when there's comedy in your comic book movies. You don't like it when there's emotion in your comic book movies. What the
no,
fuck
that
do
was,
you want
that,
in your goddamn comic book movies, Andre? Do you?
Did you?
No,
so you teared up
understand.
When you teared up. When
I was happy. No. Whoa, chill. Whoa, relax, man.
Promo.
I'm serious.
No, I'm saying I thought that was dope. It was good.
Too
I was
much
like,
emotion. You just said that.
Jesus Christ. Let's talk about
Peacemaker. Those were the words that just came out of your mouth.
Is it action, though, that you're looking for? Is action?
No, I thought it was dope that he did it. I wasn't mad about it. I was like, yo, that's kind of cool.
Remembered my last point, just to close things out. What they did at the end of this is they are resetting, with Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, the entire MCU. Everything,
that's not true.
Yes, no, it is. Everything that they don't like, anything that they want to change, will be changed by the end of Multiverse of Madness.
Okay.
It essentially gives them an opportunity to retcon anything that they don't like from the old movies, because whatever new universe they set up, the theory is that that one will have mutants in it because they'll have the deal done with Sony by then. That's when Fantastic Four and all these other properties will now be able to come back in, because basically by the end of Multiverse of Madness, somehow all of that stuff is going to be in the current universe that we see everything in. So
that's fair.
And Deadpool. Oh my God.
Can
Deadpool.
We talk?
Yes,
can
we
talk
about
how?
Sorry.
How? Yeah.
What?
Peacemaker sucks.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby!
That's all I got. Peacemaker.
You need to get a sound clip of him yelling freedom.
No. Peacemaker sucks.
Andre, why don't you tell us how you really feel?
No, wait. When we say it sucks, are we referring to the fact that it's better than other DC properties, or that it sucks in
regards? Oh, it's better than other DC properties, but it's but that's a low bar, yo. I just
well, that's the bar
I
they
just,
set.
I just
okay.
I just can't with James Gunn. Yeah, like he's the tropiest dude on the planet, and everything is so. It's so telegraphed. It's boring to watch. Let me back up a minute.
Okay.
The last episode four.
I haven't watched four yet. I haven't gotten to that one. I know. I'm sorry.
That was actually a decent episode.
Okay. So you do you feel like there's still a chance? I mean, you're four episodes into what I'm assuming is an eight episode season, right?
I hope so, because Titans started out strong,
okay.
And all that's my favorite HBO Max series. And I hope that because he's got the latitude to make it a good show, he makes a good show. I don't like him as a director. He's transparent and he's very he telegraphs every play.
Yeah. Do you think all these people are in a tough spot because they're almost too restricted by existing storyline and current like number business numbers to meet that they can't even really make interesting personalized stories anymore?
Oh, they enjoy fucking up
with
canon.
Oh, yeah,
No, that's canon does not hold them back.
It's been pretty widely reported that HBO Max and DC essentially told James Gunn, you can do literally whatever you want with Peacemaker.
Oh, cool, he's
got
cool.
And that's how we got Naked John.
Yeah. So it was basically the same what thing this with is. The Suicide Squad that he remade. You know, what's funny is that I watched one of those Everything Great With, the Suicide Squad, and it made me appreciate that movie a little bit more. I'm not saying it's great. I'm not saying it's great. I'm just saying there were parts that I didn't pick up on.
It's better.
The first time
I could see that.
Like,
I could see that. I think for me. Like, I'm not really in the world so much of that, but I think I could look at it from an outside perspective. Definitely not so, there's no, sense of nostalgia that comes to me when I see, a new Spider-Man or any of these shows. I'm really unfamiliar with them, so they're kind of my first experience with them. But I never really, it seems like I never really looked to them for more. This is, you're going to hate this, man. Sometimes I never really look to them. For anything outside of interesting CGI, stuff like that.
That's dope, though. That's
yeah. So
dope.
I feel a lot of times, I used to work with this guy who cried during the last Avengers movie, and the dichotomy between he was like, so what did you think about that? What did you think about the movie? He starts going off, and I'm like, yeah, I kind of.
You should have been I think it would be better.
I was
if you didn't cry.
I actually missed the end. I fell asleep. And he was just astonished.
Whoa! Why did you say that
astonished.
To him?
It was so long.
He obviously, this is dear.
Yeah,
he
was so confused. But, yeah, but I don't know. With these, is this the show with John Cena?
Yeah, new HBO Max one.
I enjoy John Cena, and I don't. I think the premise of the show is good. There's a lot of underlying story that I'm trying to enjoy, but I get lost with and I try to put it outside of my head. I just don't like James Gunn.
That's what I just don't understand. I'm still trying to figure out what it is about this show and James Gunn specifically that you
The way that the female agent Hardass or whatever her name
Harcourt.
Is Hardcourt whatever the way that
Hardass was great. You should have left it like that.
That whole dynamic is, it's disgusting. The first interaction. Yeah. And the bar, I'm like, yo, that's just weird.
But it's supposed to be highlighting how stupid and awkward he is about that stuff
I don't think that's necessarily true because there's cleanup lines later on where he's like, well, I'm just trying to say, something nice to you. Right. So I just kind of get stuck on the things that it's just annoying. I just don't like James Gunn.
I know you don't. You've made that abundantly clear.
I didn't like the whole parking lot scene when everything blew up. I thought that was stupid. The fight with the chicken, I just don't.
I am tired of watching shows where 90-pound girls beat up 100 people.
Yeah, that was just – that would annoy the fuck out of me.
Okay, but she's a super alien freaky thing.
Well, that's cool. I didn't know
no,
that.
No, I know. Just, that's part of the whole thing.
I watched Charlie's Angels recently, and I was that's nonsense.
No, I mean, that's ridiculous. But, yeah,
If we want to nitpick, why did she even have
sex
with him?
Well, no, because she wasn't willing to kill him at first. That was the whole thing. The only reason she killed him was because the moron left the freaking dossier that the team gave him on the butterflies, and so it has all this information. She's sitting there flipping through it
but
on the
dude,
bed when he's in the
he
bathroom.
He never had that in the bar. He never left with that in the
he
bar.
He left
that's
it.
The thing
it was
that...
in his car.
So he took...
Yes, because he said,
car.
I didn't think it was safe in the car. Did you not watch the other episodes? He explained all of it. And the dude, his boss, you took this, classified dossier into an apartment of some rando who blew you? And he's like, she didn't blow me. We fully fucked.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan.
And
I don't want to
it was hilarious. this. No, you don't get to fucking call this off.
Can we get get you a peacemaker outfit? Clearly on you're on the
I'm gonna drop a bomb right here, DJ Clue Bomb. This dude only likes it because Peacemaker's real name is Christopher
No,
Smith.
That's not the only reason I like it.
It is so true.
Not. It's a fucking amazing show. All right, look, first off, I fucking love this show. This show is hilarious. It is, I can't stop laughing at it. I am laughing out loud while I'm watching. I've rewatched the second and third episode multiple times already while I was waiting for the fourth episode to come out because that's how much I like this show. All right. Cena, who I didn't love in the Suicide Squad, I felt like it was a little bit, I feel like has finally started to kind of find his like niche in this role. Like he's got his timing and stuff with the group down much better than he did before. Yep. Go ahead.
Hold on. Let me say, okay, that's actually written, that was intentional. So, the whole thing about Peacemaker, do you know about Peacemaker's origins in comics?
A little, because after I watched the first three episodes, I was like, well, I need to understand what the fuck is going on here. So, I went to the wiki page and started reading.
They play a little bit on the full fact he's delusional and he lives in this.
Right, because in the comics he has, like, the voices of the guys that he kills are, like, supposedly in his helmet and communicating with him. Yeah.
So besides that, so the core of it is he's living in a world of his own imagination and his own expectation. I like how they incorporated a new thing of this, a whole trailer park aspect, because that shows that he comes from a really shitty upbringing, and this is where it was really hard for me to watch, because I relate a lot of that to my personal life as I was raised, where you had a domineering, abusive father who told you, this is how the world is, this is what you need to do. So I grew up thinking, this is how the world is, this is how I need to do. So when you get into the world, two things can happen. Either it breaks your reality, and you see the truth, or you deny that reality, and you become so abrasive to it that you become the villain, as they say. So in Suicide Squad, that's what we see Peacemaker struggling with. That's why he literally fights them, because he's like, this doesn't make sense to me. We're supposed to do this XYZ. Why are you not doing this? Because he's not critically thinking. So now we're seeing, of course, part of the hero story, traditional hero storyline. He's back at home in his uncomfortable zone, but in a way, he's back at home in his comfort zone, but he's seeing everything in new light. So as soon as you come over to his house, he can't figure out how to get into his own house anymore. He has to break into his own house to get a phone that's completely bombarded with text messages about his past life. That's why I like it. That's why I'm also uncomfortable with it, because
I will say this. There are things about the show that I root for him in. Like the gem when he left the hospital. So there.
That was this crazy. He's in the.
It's. Yeah. So there are hidden gems in the show, and I respect and I appreciate that.
Oh.
But I think we're like, and this is just my critique. I think where James Gunn loses people that are trying to enjoy the story, is he becomes James Gunn again.
I don't know what that means.
Well, he does some.
The same way.
Yeah, but that I understand. Michael Bay means explosions with a lack of plot. Like, what is it about the James Gunn stuff that you don't like? That's what I'm trying to understand.
I'll probably watch it again this weekend just to kind of give you some specific points, because that's why if I didn't like or enjoy part of the show, I would have stopped watching.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, there are things about like the way he directs and his writing also, where it's like, dude, you totally like you had me right there. I was with you, but then I don't want to play anymore. And that's where I'm trying to figure out how to connect those dots. I don't hate the entirety of the show. I just don't like the James Gunn like emphasis on the show. I think it could be better.
There's a lot of cool YouTube show and film reviewers. One of them I'm thinking off the top is like called A Closer Look. Another one is Critical Drinker. And they've kind of taught me a new appreciation of how to watch movies, as silly as that sounds, and watch shows.
Sure.
And yeah, if you guys, you're all busy guys, but check them out, and maybe you guys could have more understanding for how to like a different criteria of how to pick things apart.
Sure.
Because saying this sucks is helpful, like initially, like it's like a nice summary,
right?
But
He's talking about how to articulate the
Yeah,
facts,
like okay.
Chris, one thing go is to like, your room. Go to your room. No, you will not tell me
that I can't
how to
say this
communicate.
Sucks.
One thing is like a character development. Something I've noticed that I'm like, oh, this is cool. Like, okay, for example, like if you have one character that makes one decision early on, then later on, okay, that establishes who they are. Like there's a left or right. They choose left. Okay, that's the type of person they are. They go left.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden later in the show, they go right. But yep. there's no moment that teaches you why that's important, how that person changed.
To be fair, I think that's kind of what I'm having a problem with. I think I'm seeing like those gems in the show and I don't figure out the transition to the next point.
So
that's, yeah. And that's what I think. And I'm not trying.
Are you asking why Peacemaker is trying to make peace with himself?
I'm saying in general, like I watch the show and I kind of struggle with like, I don't get why we're here. So that's.
Well, it's the moment he killed Flag. As soon as he killed him, he changed.
Because he realized like Flag was this guy who is basically what Peacemaker wants to be. Like the guy who does the right thing. But Peacemaker has always been like clouded.
Somebody's got some. Hold on. Somebody's got some static or something going on. Can you guys hear that?
Yeah, I hear it.
All right.
Better?
Yeah, it's a lot better.
I might have been. It might have been. I just unplugged and replugged.
All I'm saying is I notice and identify the gems in the show. So, and I'm having a hard time going, I can't connect these pieces. Chris, we lost Chris. We lost the other Chris.
Hmm? Me?
Smith.
Oh. Okay. Hey, it wasn't me then. I'm pretty pumped about that.
Oh, it's Smith. Yeah, all your static. You can hear all your static.
I literally didn't do anything. I've been sitting here.
I love the ocean waves.
Oh, it's better now.
It's better now.
Hey, man, I'm happy it was you, man.
Yeah, me too. Sorry about that, guys. Okay, so last couple of thoughts from me on Peacemaker. I won't drag this out into a long argument. Yeah. The reason that I have really enjoyed the show so far is that while it is a comic book show that is over-the-top action, offensiveness, just like ridiculousness, at the same time,
Eagle,
everything is essentially character-driven. Right? Like it's character development that is driving the plot of the show, not the action. The action is really just the background in which all of this individual character development takes place. And I love that juxtaposition, like this zany over the top action. But then you have a character like Peacemaker who you see struggling with his own identities, like the shit with his dad, you know, where he fits in with the group. The fact that like he could be friends with Diebeard, but he keeps pushing him away because he's a dick. Like, Vigilante, oh my god, my new fucking favorite character of anything ever. He's like the Deadpool of DC, only maybe even somehow better because he seems a little bit loopier. Like, and I know, Joe, it's like pushing it a little bit, but the whole Joe,
he's like the Bob.
Can you guys hear Joe?
No.
Yeah, so we're all fucking up now. I don't know, just Vigilante, the whole scene where he's helping him clean up the trailer, and he's like, where does this go? And it's like, it goes with the tapes, dude. Like, the guy's clearly not right. You know, when he's hiding behind the trash can, and they're getting ready to go in, and he's, what are you doing here? Like, I don't know. There's that element of it. It kind of breaks up all of that seriousness, like you were talking about. Like, there's a lot of really heavy stuff that kind of happens, but I feel like one of the things that I like about him is I feel like he does a good job of kind of balancing that with these more zany kind of over the top things. And maybe that's just where, like, those are two things that you and I don't appreciate on the same level or in the same
fair.
Way.
That's fair.
And weirdly, like I said, I haven't watched many superhero movies. Is the Joker a superhero movie? I don't know, but it's kind of a comic book maybe.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
That's actually, it was not very action oriented. It was more like, I thought it was interesting from like a cinematic standpoint of like how they would show landscaping. Yeah, but I like that. And I liked like the darkness of it. I think sometimes like you're missing an important time, especially when like as someone who watched or read, participated with comics from a young age, now we're all older. And if sometimes like you're missing a point, like, okay, the comic attracts you initially. But if you don't address the darker parts of life, I think you miss a cool opportunity to interact with those thoughts and with that community.
And I'll wrap this segment up with this. Like back in the day when I read comics, especially X-Men or when I read the X-Men or other, like even East Coast Avengers and West Coast Avengers, Marvel had a pretty good job of talking about social issues or current events.
Yeah, the entirety of the X-Men right there.
Yeah, so like there for me, it's a very personal thing. So when I pick up a print and I start reading it, it's because I'm intrigued by the story, and you know, it was a channel in my day, and I'm probably the oldest out of the group, where you can actually see where how these things play out. Right?
It's not probably. It's definitely.
I think he's saying you're old as fuck.
Yeah. So my nostalgia with these, or my familiarity with these, this medium is kind of like personal also.
Yeah. And that's why I think they have an awesome opportunity to like use that, that automatic, almost like
the built-in audience.
You're already into it.
Yeah.
So then you could bring more adult, like darker aspects of it. Like,
Sure. There's that, like the thing about Iron Man, for example, like most people, like they never put in a movie. He had a drinking problem. He had like this problem where he went over the
top.
They
put it in third movie.
They did a hat nod to it. He really didn't have much of it.
No, I mean, it wasn't like, because you can't spend 3 hours on an alcoholic Iron Man.
But you can do two movies on it, right?
With Joker, like, it's like, hey, Joker is this crazy character with this weird background. And then you have the newest Joker film where it's like, oh, this is pretty much the whole time we're just going to say how that like weird character developed, and then how that looks like in real life outside of him being like this zany menace.
Right.
It's like, okay, that's kind of vaguely interesting. But, yeah.
You know what I really want to talk about because you're here, Chris?
Music.
Let's talk about some music.
Don't we have a music?
Oh, hold up. Before we move on.
Yep.
I just want to say, Chris, White Chris, in reference to the Peacemaker series, I think the reason you like it is very much the same reason I like another show that did it just as good, or if not better, mm-hmm. and that's Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Yeah, yes.
It's zaniness, it's dark, but the action never, it was never, the action was never the focus.
Yeah.
The action just helped get the character from point A to point B.
Exactly.
And so I look at this and all I can see is that's Ash good. Vs. Evil Dead meets DC's version of Watchmen Light.
Yeah.
So there's like, especially the combat scenes where it's just like large punches going through walls and shit.
Yeah.
I see Joker from that one getting his ass beat all over again, and I'm like, I just love it. So I'm having a good time with it. I'm optimistic. DC has really fucked the pooch every single year since the day they started making movies. Ever since they realized that they can make live action instead of animated, they've been doing solid strikes. I hate them. But this gives me hope.
Hold on.
That maybe... No, don't you dare. The animated universe was badass.
No, the animated universe badass. Was fine, but I'm just asking, like, you didn't like any of the Batman movies at all?
Oh, no. The Nolan series?
I didn't love them. I had problems with every single one of them.
Joel Schumacher shouldn't have made movies, but... Like, I'm legitimately, because for me, right, like the Batman stuff, the Michael Keaton stuff, it's a nostalgia, right? I grew up, I was a very young age when those movies came out. I went to go see those in theaters. Like, that holds a certain place. Like, the Joel Schumacher stuff was when I started to lose interest. And then Dark Knight, you know, or Batman Begins, like that stuff, and Dark Knight, like that really kind of got me back into it. The third one with Bane wasn't, you know, I didn't love it, but... I thought it was like an interesting...
The one with Heath Ledger is easily the best DC movie they've done in recent times.
Yeah, that movie rocks.
The best live action they've done, hands down, is Titans. Like, if you haven't watched Titans, you should definitely...
I've never seen
it. I'm never going to watch it. I'm never going to watch Titans. I don't like when they color wash or they whitewash
characters. That is a legit dope show.
Wait, does that mean, does color wash, whitewash, what does that mean? That means like...
Whitewash is when they take a color, a traditionally colored or ethnic character and then make it
into a white person. Yeah. I'm so sick
of that,
too. And
color wash is when they take a white character and make them black.
Are you talking about Starfire?
Newly,
I hate what they did to Starfire.
Are you kidding me? Yo, she slays that role.
I'm sorry.
We got to circle back around.
I look at the trailer and you look like a prostitute coming off the street. I'm like, why are you dressed like that?
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I think we'll have to come back to that one next week.
Yo, my dude.
We'll do a 1v1. Me versus Andre.
Your analysis of that is.
By the way, go on Facebook and type in Not My Domino, and I'm the only person in the entire freaking United States who ever bitched about Domino being black in the Deadpool movie. It had nothing to do with the fact that she's black. I just don't like change.
I just don't. I come back to, like, I don't understand why it cares.
What the fuck is going on?
I don't understand why you care. Like, you've seen the other character in the comics. Why does it have to be these? You just sat here and said that we don't have to do a Shadow Hunter.
I think because they're
doing it because they're anticipating the social warriors getting mad.
No, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I saw Domino and I didn't think a thing of it, you know, because you can't depict any ethnicity from the character.
But that's you, but they're doing that for that. That's the intent behind it. It's not like a creative decision. It's not like, oh, this actor just blows. It is 100%.
No,
there's no
way.
I don't know.
I fucking love Zazzy Beetz. That chick is awesome.
I would say, I don't know, man. I would say
she's not a Domino. She played herself.
Who plays Domino?
Domino is sassy, charismatic,
who plays her?
And manipulative.
Who plays her?
What do you mean, who plays
like,
her?
Who would you have rather seen?
I don't give a shit. I just want the character to be true to the character.
You just want her
I want the industry to stop proactively. I want the industry to stop proactively changing race out of some weird notion of a gender.
I totally disagree with you.
On the same page on this. I think if you want to color wash characters, I don't give a fuck, man. Like, it doesn't matter.
You want to do a black Batman?
How many fucking Batman movies have we seen? Why would it be
so Domino? Domino is completely.
You're talking about multiverse things.
I'm telling you, my dude.
No,
I have steel.
Don't sit here and tell me that's multiverse stuff and that I'm not. No, because that's the whole thing with Marvel is that they've essentially said everything is multiverse. Whatever universe it is that we happen to be in that moment, that's a separate universe.
That's not what they did for Domino.
First of all,
Domino's face is super pale. She could be Asian. She could be mixed. Like, I think your assessment on Domino's
look at Domino's ancestry. She comes from two white parents. Mutant gene is the one that makes her that pale.
In the film, did they address her race?
A not white baby?
I'm saying at least one white parent made me.
It depends on who their mailman is.
Exactly. See?
All right, next. I'm done. Let's talk about music. Because I'm not music.
All right.
So let's get back on the rails again. So a couple of things I've been kind of thinking about. I've been listening to, like I've said before, listening to a lot of Breakfast Club, checking a lot of YouTube like personalities and commentators on the culture and music in general. A couple of things I've figured out, and Chris, I'm going to throw these out in succession, but we can talk about them point by point. First thing I realize is hip hop has taken over. The second thing that I'm trying to understand is streaming in general, and just the final thing is the overall sound. So
okay, hip hop. I disagree. It's taken over. I think that's a manipulated thing.
Oh, tell me how.
Ooh.
I think that everything's gotten a lot. It's gotten very visual. So. It's not gotten very visual. Pretty much since like the music video, things have been progressing towards being visual. Then you have like the Michael Jackson incident where things become more accepted. Like, even Michael Jackson, I'm pretty sure there's this famous story of he had to fight to get his videos on MTV because of the lack of like corporate interest in having black artists there, right? Do you remember that?
Color guard, I think that's their term.
Okay.
Color guarding.
That's not. I think I would struggle with that because Thriller. There was a. It was a big event, like the premiere, the thrill of it video,
yeah,
was talked about for weeks.
For sure. But it was also the first black artist, I think, on MTV.
No, it was not.
Oh, what was?
Let me Google it. But okay. Keep, go with your point.
Well, I just think that taken over, like, I think that taken over would seem like a
malicious action, yeah.
No, like kind of like grassroots. I think it is malicious, honestly. I think that if it wasn't intended to be malicious, it like you know, music is music, whatever. I think that it's weird to see how many kids.
Let me pause. So sure. It was Michael Jackson's Billie Jean. No, yeah, it was Billie Jean.
The first black thing on MTV.
Yeah.
Right. And okay. That was Michael Jackson at Billie Jean. He'd already been booming. Like, he's already been a superstar by then.
And he was still black at that time, right?
Bro, did your son just school you? Like, low key?
We don't need to put fire on
this. Yeah, we're not doing that. Like, that's why my son's here.
Well, hey, hopefully I buy some clout there. And I really care. First off, I really care about hip hop. Like, for me, when I started making it, I was like,
you definitely do.
Yeah, I really care about the art. I think it's very important. However, I don't believe that most people participating in it care about it. I know most people that are in the business of it don't care about it. And I think that most people that consume it don't care about the artist at all. And so, yeah, for that reason, I disagree. Like, I think that there's a lot of kids that care about it, that make it. Over time, they don't care about it anymore. They care about themselves. And they've found that it's easy. Like, for some reason, tech companies are making it big and making it popular.
But as a sound, wouldn't you agree that hip hop is like the preferred genre that people relate to?
No. With that people what?
Relate to.
No.
Universally, I wouldn't say no. I wouldn't say so.
Have you ever? You ever like think about this? Like a car comes by and it plays some nice '80s or like '70s, '60s rock music, and it just feels different versus like a car comes by and booming some new trap record. You're just like, what world are you in? I just don't know. By the way, like hip hop started at a time. It was like the only outlet for a lot of people, and now. It's like, get over yourselves. This is not the only way for a lot of these people to be communicating. I don't want to say that, like, hip-hop is like Twitter, for example. Like, you can get your ideas out. There was a time where, like, hip-hop was this interesting voice where that was the only place you could get these people's opinion on things. This is the only place. And it was really honest. Now it's not honest. Now it's cool. It's like the guy that, like, there was a time.
So where, let me take a step back because I think that I'm confused.
Yeah.
So you're saying that popularity, from what I hear you saying, popularity wise, hip hop is popular.
It's a manufactured popularity.
No, I'm not.
Like sometimes I'll go on YouTube Music and you'll look at the
trend. Like
you'll look at the trending things and you're like, wow, I think it's like four out of the six. I think they only have six slides that are on their top page, top promoting thing. And it's like, these crazy cut, like in the cut rappers like NBA Youngboy. By the way, respect all these people. They're just riding the wave. They're not the people producing the wave. I question the intent of the people producing the wave. And
so, okay, so my question is coming from my question is coming from more of a just without the mechanics or the background or the behind the scenes aspect of it.
That's
hip hop would be like the number like the most popular and or most popping genre right now.
Well, you can't look at it without that. Like, no one's like when you go outside, there's no hip hop culture to be had. There's no like when you think about there used to be like freestyle circles. Like those were real places where like hip hop mattered.
I'm trying to understand it from your age group's point of view.
Okay, from our age point, our hangouts are manufactured and like. There's like a thermostat on our environment, and there are people that get to press the buttons on the thermostat. Okay, so hip hop is being made important. It's not something that is like important by natural cause. I think like in early 80s and late 80s, 90s in New York City, you're very aware of this. It was cool and it was real. But now it's being manufactured to be real. You have to make a you have to make a place feel like hip hop.
I would like to add to that.
Yeah, please.
So, I historical precedent in reference to like punk music. When punk music came out, it was very localized.
Yeah,
but it was also strong. It was a strong culture in and of itself.
Yeah,
I think what he's trying to say is, hip hop started as not directly in opposition, but as a product of the time. There was social injustice. There was a lot of stress that couldn't be vocalized without, you know, obvious damage. So you sung it. And this created a culture, which created a movement, which created popularity. Now we're seeing that popularity, like you said, being utilized for profit.
It's commercialized. Yeah.
And really quickly, that was all these guys had.
Right.
Like, pretty much.
There wasn't like, Twitter. They had literally no other avenue, right, to be able to connect with anybody outside of their very close-knit circle.
And also, Dad, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that the real boom in hip-hop started after a blackout in New York City, in which there was this huge riot where a bunch of people stole a lot of expensive equipment that they couldn't afford. Then all of a sudden they started doing these sampling, they stole all these things to make this music. It was illegal from the jump. That was a culture. So it was like, this is not a genre. It was a bunch of human beings that had come together. They had a spirit of themselves that made this thing that then gets packaged as a genre. Now we don't have to be that way. It's easy to be that way because there's like a template for how to be a rapper. And people are choosing that as opposed to going and making an app or making something else that is the real culture.
Well, so like we've talked about these guys before on here, but like the Island Boys, right? Like these are these YouTube rapper, SoundCloud rapper kind of thing. I mean, like we started out on SoundCloud, so I'm not trying to throw shade at SoundCloud or anything like that.
Yeah,
but
same.
Where it seems like it's so much more about like the physical appearance, about like, you know, how am I coming off? It's not about like, am I actually creating good music? Like, is there value in this? And that's where I think, like, Joe, your point about punk music, because as somebody who grew up with punk music in high school, like I went through that where I was really into a lot of like the local indie stuff. And then as it became more popular, I liked it,
did
but
you
it
dress in punk.
Yeah. Ish.
There
mean,
was
like,
a time
a really
too
long belt that hung down
I,
in front
I,
of my crotch.
I need to see you. I need to see you dress in punk for this baby shower.
And guys, there's probably a time where like you guys like hear punk music for the first time and you're like, oh, these guys get me.
Yeah.
Like we're already connected. This is just an expression of something that I already like exist.
Yeah,
in.
Absolutely. Yeah. And but then it started becoming more commercialized, where even the artists that I really enjoyed at one point, like, got to a point where I'm like, you guys aren't even making punk anymore. Like, all right, I was really big into Blink-182 early, before like Enema of the State and stuff like that. But then, so I was like a punk hipster, I guess. But then, like, once, like Enema of the State, I liked Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, solid album. But then it was like by the time they did their self-titled album, which was like super emo, like punky.
Yeah.
I was just like, guys, this is not it. And part of it also, right, is that you had guys who were in their late 20s, early 30s singing about their high school girlfriends breaking up with them and like going off to college. And it's like, all right, aren't you guys going to mature and like find a new voice, find something else that you're going to write about instead of just trying to replicate the success that you already had?
Yeah, and like an example of this would be like, so originally hip hop was like, no, fuck you, I'm stealing all this stuff, I'm making whatever music I want, we have a spot that we already go to, we're playing this music, and now people are saying we're hip hop and will like ask a corporation if this is okay, we're trying to consider the stats so that like this song is going to sell, and I'm not going to say this word, I'm not going to say that word, we have all the rights, okay, now we'll distribute this song and we're going to say it's in the hip hop.
I saw Katy Perry do that in one of her albums. I forgot the one of those. I know what you mean.
For me, like when I listen to not just hip hop, although if you're to ask me like what are my favorite types of music to listen to, it'd be like what I call real hip hop, salsa, bachata, merengue.
Yeah,
and that's probably. They get tone every now and then. So that's where I go, right?
Yeah.
I'm not into pop music, but the thread I see with the music I enjoy is that there's an authenticity to it. So my the stuff that I hear you do, and I always tell you, I'm like, yo, you never want people to fact check you, right?
Sure.
It's like you got to tell good stories, like, and however you do it.
Yeah.
So I guess in my journey of trying to reacclimate myself to what's popping in the culture, I'm confused. You know, there's a lot of noise. There are kids that have a great opportunity, like drills, like banging right now from the UK to Chicago to New York now. Then it's like, now there's this struggle in the culture of trying to get like East Coast and primarily like New York hip hop back on the map. And, you know, like, where do you see the struggles are in just music in general? Because that's my little purview of like, you know, this is what I care about, but I can't, yeah. I would be lying to say that it doesn't exist everywhere else.
Where do I see the struggle in music? It's the struggle and the ability to maintain serene environment enough to be yourself and be like, no, this is who I am. Like, I'm cool with that. Now everyone has these apps. Like, you can't even sit around. You have to tell people to not be on their phones in the studio. Like, in the 90s, it was like, there's nothing else going on. If there is, I'll be there. But if I'm here, I'm here. And we're doing this. And, like, everyone here is... we're here, so we're cool with doing this, and that's going to make this moment that makes us really authentic, special, unique, honest music. Now everyone is like, oh, is this cool if I like take a pic? Like, they're here, but they're kind of not. This affects dating as well, by the way. It's like kids are like, God. Kids are like, I'm kind of here, but I'm here like considering how I look on a popular platform, so like you can take a picture or a video of me and like this is going to be like a shareable viral moment. I want to make these viral moments instead of like being in a cool moment and being like kind of the idea of FOMO, where it's like, no, I'm here and I'm like invested in being here, versus like, I'm here and I'm considering everything else that's going on the planet. Like, would I rather be doing that? Like, what's going on over there? And that's gonna make something cool over time. But right now it's affecting music because microphones are cheaper. It's easier to make a music video. Like, the structure for being an artist is already laid out. By the way, I think that that's not in the interest of the artist, because the spirit of an artist is like almost anti-corporate, and everything is so corporate now that like if some corporation is inviting you back to your point about the punk, like as soon as they get signed, they lose what the spirit of being punk is. So like,
yep.
And by the way, it's impossible. Like, you're legally bound. You're going to prison if you try to be punk, almost. Like, once you're signed.
So would you ever get signed to a record?
No, not a chance. Not a chance. That's what happened to Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain is one of my favorite, like Amy Winehouse. It's like they're these beautiful, honest things. And then all of a sudden, corporate... Yeah. This is what happening to the movies that you guys are talking about. Corporate gets involved. There's some corporate nonsense. And all of a sudden, the art is gone. It's like, it's cool because of how cool they were originally. But now what it was special about the art is it was that. And now you're trying to distribute it, you're trying to water it down, you're trying to package it so that it works on TikTok or so that it works on Instagram or so that it works at, like,
so
shows
that it appeals to the widest audience, right? Like, you're trying, ultimately, when these things are capitalist backed or investor backed, somebody who's expecting to get their money back out of it and potentially then some, like, you have expectations that you have to fulfill, more or less, right?
That's, and especially why it's a problem now is because these labels are going to fail already. Yeah. So, like, you guys are screwed. So you have the vibe of you're screwed. So you're not, like, on a winning team. So it's then, like, you're getting yelled at for not doing the right thing on a sinking ship.
But
it's
I'm
like,
trying
you
to understand, because it seems like right now, like you were just talking about, right? It feels like the barriers to entry into the musical world are so much lower than they have been previously, to the point where you don't need necessarily like a record deal, where you can produce your own music, you know, go, you know, those sorts of things. Do you feel like that, like, is that going to help things in the long run? Do you think that there'll be more people kind of that have your mindset in terms of, I want to make this as authentic for as long as I can? Like, I'm not looking for the cash payout. Or do you think that it's become so commercialized that the majority of people are just like, no, I just want my 5 seconds of fame?
Well, it really sucks because it's honest. This is it's a way bigger problem. Like, there aren't people that will be, they're not, like, you can't fill up a devoted audience anymore. Like, you can't, like, a small city, like, in early Seattle, like, they all want to be Kurt. Like, it's not like everyone wants to be Drake. Like, they're not going to allow
and support.
Yeah, because he started from
the bottom, and now he's here.
Right. So, like, you're not gonna support him to be the best.
Enjoy the moment. You just got double shit on by two Powells because of that dumbass shit you just said. We are not here for no.
Sorry, I'm being too serious about it. I mean,
no,
this is great, dude.
Like, honestly, I love this perspective on it because there's an element of this that I think I've always connected with music, where it's like once you buy into the commercial aspect of it, like, you've lost that authenticity. It's not about, like, ultimately,
but
you're
it's also
trying
like,
to sell a record.
But it's also like, okay, I can make a song, right? Mm-hmm. But playing music typically involves like a bunch, like a band, let's say, or like an orchestra, let's say. It's a people problem now. Like, people are being affected by social media and they're not developing in a way that's making them confident enough and like focused enough, honestly, in one thing to recreate moments. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine who's going to school in California. And he was telling me about how his teacher used to work in like the cool like 70s scene in LA. And we were like, damn, it's never going to be like that again. Like, you're never going to have a moment where people are just like, it's corny to say counterculture, but there's a real value to that, where people are like, I see what y'all are up to. I see what the masses are up to, but I'm going to go this route. And then having a whole room of people like that. And then not, you know, these tech companies are making devices that seduce you and pull you towards them. So yeah. It's like one thing for me to say, no, you know, I'm going to leave my phone on silent. But it's another when the phone is on silent, but I still have this urge to take it out of my pocket. So now I lose focus in the show. So now I care less about the moment. And I think that's what music is about. It's cool to have a hit record, but like what hit records meant in the 90s were way different than what they mean now. So like
spiritually, it was almost spiritual.
Yeah, it really was.
The person is really authentic, is not produced just for the benefit of, you know,
well,
paycheck.
And I mean,
and it meant something in the community. Like the whole community liked the record for the year or maybe longer, where now it's like, you know, 15 seconds and.
Well, it was also one of those things with the...
You're arguing the origin of jazz.
But, like, the early records, right? I mean, even up until the days of CDs, like, you would hear one song from an album, and you'd go buy the album, right? Like, I'd go buy the CD, and then I'm sitting there, and I'm going to listen to the whole thing.
Year two or three.
Yeah. But, you know, like, yeah, nowadays, it's like, you don't... Like, So, Chris, I'm kind of curious, like, what are your thoughts on, like, Spotify and these streaming services? Do you feel like those are ultimately contributing to the downfall of music in that way?
Yeah, entirely. Well, it's I don't want to point at just Spotify. Spotify's done great things.
Yeah.
It's everything at once. It's taking away from what it means to hang out with your friends and listen to music. Like, so I'll paint a picture of, like, what it looked like when I hung out with my friends in college, okay? So, like, we'd be sitting around. There'd be something on the TV, but we're listening to music and we're on our phones. So then it's like all of those arts are less powerful in the moment. It's like whatever's on my phone is less important because there's something else. And then whatever's on the TV is less important. The music is cool, but it's like background. And it's not to say, like, sometimes you could argue that, like, we position music higher than it actually is in importance in society. That's probably true.
I agree with that.
But, like, I think that, like, we're... So, like, sure, it's not the most important thing, but we're missing out on how cool it actually is. Like,
see, that's amazing
for me
to hear from a musician. I mean, because as somebody who grew up playing instruments and, like, I do. Like, I have this incredible fondness for a lot of different music. Like, I don't know that there's much more important than music in my mind. Like, I think there is the ability to have such an emotional connection with certain things. And it doesn't, like, you don't have to be going through the exact same thing that somebody else did when they wrote the song, but you're getting something out of it, right? Like, it's all about your specific interpretation of it in music.
Well,
and
but
I think,
we
can, like,
but really quickly, we could say family and food are both easily more important than music, right? I think music
depends on your family, but.
Yeah, I was going to say something. I wasn't going to say it.
No, I think that's a really good point, right? Like, music is not the most important thing. I guess when I say that, I'm thinking more in terms of, like, other art forms or maybe your other opportunities outside of those things. But I think you make a really good point, right? Like, there are those other elements that, in a lot of ways now, get kind of glossed over or overlooked in a way because it's like, oh no, you've got to focus on this, like this thing here, whether it's music or movies or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of, if I may. Yeah.
Music is not the most important thing. That's obvious. When you the brass tacks of things, it's not the most important thing to survival. But I think it's the most important thing to human expression. And if you start ignoring how people are expressing themselves, you're not listening. You're not opening yourself up to communication. And all these distractions are taken away from these expressions. Exactly. There's still great music out there, but it's washed down with a whole lot of noise.
Yeah, I was watching this old... Sorry, really quickly. I think you guys would think this is interesting. Because I've been thinking about this for like pretty much all pandemic straight. Like, what's happening? Because I had a lot of time to think about it. The pandemic made it worse, by the way. It made everything more virtual. I was watching this... I know, right? I was watching this old video Jesus, this is the man's is this world.
It's going to be a Spider-Man, but it's old, but it's not really old.
It's not Ray Charles. It's
James Brown.
Yeah. I was watching an old video of James Brown perform in, I think, in Atlanta. And I was watching it, and he was so passionate. And I was watching this whole song of him singing This is a Man's World. And I was like, man, this is awesome. It was amazing. He's sweating. The room is – you can just see that he's there all the whole time. And immediately after the thing, I was like, there could never be this person without him being a meme right now. If this guy were to be acting this passionately about this expression and this idea, everyone in the room would be taking a video of him and he'd become a meme. Like if you think of Jordan crying at his Hall of Fame thing, it's like, this guy's a meme. You're he's right. crying because
yeah,
he's
the Jordan
dedicated
thing is
his
mostly
life.
Because Carolina fans are insufferable.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Quickly, Chris, get a sound clip of that so you can, you know, beat up Andre for the next 10 years about it.
Yeah. And so people are afraid of being memed, you know?
No, there's, I mean, there's a legit element to that.
Hold
right?
on. All
right.
I think there is a, you know, I've been kind of wrestling with my opinion that musicians aren't artists.
Yeah. This is, so I love.
What?
Yes. I have argued with him repeatedly about this, but
you shouldn't even
hear
you shouldn't
me.
Even let
this
yeah.
crazy idea.
But hear me out.
Yeah.
One of I think what you guys are saying, and like as I'm listening to you guys talk, I think communication, like the art of communication, is something that, you know, transcends the different disciplines of the quote unquote mm-hmm. arts, right?
Yeah.
So I would wager and say that there is a authenticity to people that are talking about their struggles or their stories. Whether that be an author, whether that be a songwriter, whether that be I'm not a big Picasso fan, but I'm just going to use Picasso just for giggles. How we communicate the stories of that particular moment to somebody. So I think I'm not a big Picasso fan.
I know. I'm sitting here like, did you really just like? I'm
That's
too
fine.
Cool for
I don't
Picasso.
Like
Jesus.
I don't
God.
Like. I don't. I think Picasso's overrated. It's just my personal taste in art. But so my point being is that I think that the ability to tell us
I'm listening, but you just said one of the most ridiculous fucking opinions.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't have to like Picasso.
But that seems like such a freaking I don't like Picasso everybody likes Picasso kind of.
That's
like
what
you're
it is.
The hipster of art in this case. I liked Picasso before he became popular, but now it's
I've never liked Picasso. I've never liked Rembrandt. Yeah.
Britney Spears or NSYNC, but
Andre, I would like you to notice how I am not chiming in on this. I'm giving you the respect to be wrong. So in the future, when we discuss about the color washing issue, you'd give me the same respect.
Yeah, it's fine.
So, like, no, but Andre, let me finish, because I feel like you were kind of retracing your steps there and saying maybe I was wrong about thinking that musicians aren't artists.
Yeah, because my point being is that you're presenting a story at a moment, and people can feel and sense and experience that moment with you. I think that is a form of art.
Yeah.
So
that's really well put.
The way that people try to say, like, and this is like the antithesis of what I'm saying, is like Kanye West. I still don't like Kanye.
You don't have to like him.
I've never. Nor do I.
But
think
you better let him finish.
You know what I don't.
Or Chance the Rapper.
No, but this is so detrimental to the point of being an artist. What sucks is like when I say that like our rooms are being manipulated now. It's like if we were to think of the things that we should have a problem with in today's world, it wouldn't even be. I mean, it would be so close to the last thing of saying, you know what? I don't like that Kanye West guy. Yeah. Like everyone is so.
Oh, those. I don't lose sleep over it. I'm just saying, like.
No, but it's like it's crazy that it's even a thought. It's like what he's done, and I'm look, he's just a guy. Like so, it's like he's not a system, which this is. No, but really quick. But I think it's important, really quick, just only because we like put this out into the world. I just want this thought to go out. We are being so manipulated into our thinking, like our thoughts aren't our own for the most part anymore, and we need to be aware of that because it should not be like an easy statement to say, hey, you know that guy that like tries and makes music in different ways, like for us to be so quickly to be like, yeah, I don't like him, like especially knowing where he's from a little bit empathetically, like it's like we should be quicker to point at other people is all I'm saying. There's much more
problems. I have no problem with saying like pointing out people's faults, right? So I think that there is
all the time.
I think there's a point where if you're going to believe your own press, then you should be able to get ridiculed.
Sure.
And the, my issue with
Kanye is not a journalist.
Let me finish.
The press is ridiculous.
This motherfucker legit thinks he's a goddamn genius. And like that's, let me just like I'm now I'm just
that,
like,
that,
now
that,
I'm
going to
go.
No, no, no. He is the genius voice of a generation.
Yeah, and I fundamentally do not agree with that at all.
But by the way, remember, he's a business guy. So anytime he's in public, he's pretty much just promoting his business. Like,
sure, fine. If he's going to do that in public. No, if he's going to do that in public, I should have the ability to have
No, that's fine, but I'm asking
about
a question. Do you feel like Kanye has ever made good music?
I think he's only made one or two songs I actually like.
Okay. But so you feel like he is capable of making good music?
Sure, okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. I'm not asking you to sign off on everything the guy does. But I think to Chris's point, right, like – there's a bit of it that I do think, like, I think there's a bit of it that is that manipulation of the media and the way that things are presented in this, like, well, look at this crazy dude. Shouldn't we all think that Kanye's totally crazy and focus on this?
No, but let me finish my point for you guys, like before you try to railroad me.
When have I ever railroaded you on this show?
I've listened to countless people go to bat for this guy, right?
I don't know.
I'm saying in my experience, I've listened to countless people. I even heard T.I. say, we can't, as a culture, we can't lose Kanye West, right? Whatever. And my point is this, it's like, look, that's all well and good. But when you reach or you're able or you access a certain level of notoriety in society, and you decide to own that, and you take a personal investment in what that looks like, and you say, like, then that's on you. The shit you do after that, that's fucking on you.
But so then, like, just to clarify, if Kanye had never, in your terms, bought his own press, you wouldn't have an issue with everything that he's done since?
More than likely not. Like, J. Cole.
Like, none of these guys...
It's not like media.
I'll put it this way.
The term I'm using, the term I'm using is like, if everybody keeps saying Christian's great, and you're like, yeah, because they're saying that, I believe that. Not the media. I'm saying your own press. People come to you telling you and reporting back to you.
You're not allowed to
like,
believe that you're great?
Even when people tell me like nice things about myself, I'm very grounded in reality of knowing my own.
But I'll say that, I think what Andre is saying.
What Andre is saying is he finds Kanye West as being very egotistic, very selfish, and belligerent to other artists to a point where he's insufferable.
Well, hip hop, there's never been a rapper ever, a hip hop producer ever, that has been the most interesting and deservedly, like, talked about thing in America or in the world ever. It's never been the most interesting thing. So my question is, why is it that people are choosing to focus on and to debate hip hop and to ridicule? You know how easy it is from a, like, to pick on a person from.
I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just my opinion. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
I don't like Kanye West.
No, but my point is, like, it's debatable that, like, I've never been to Chicago. Like, it's debatable that I should never even know who Kanye was. And I think that, like, there's a lot of people who have interest in making, propping up people, owning people. In his case, owning his music. He's got it back, but owning it, promoting him, making him more popular. People, like, stars are pretty much like pawns in America. So it's like Drake right now, it's in the best interest of capitalism. It's in the best, well, I'll just leave it at capitalism and, like, consumerism, that Drake is the biggest artist in the world because he's going to go and buy new houses. He's going to prop up to the young kids that, like, buying things is important, like, sexuality is important, things like
that are not that interesting. But isn't there an element of individual responsibility in that, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I think maybe that's your point, Andre, is, like, that. Yes, those things are what capitalism wants you to do, but you're not obligated to do those things. Like, you as an individual get to make those choices.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying, Andre, is it's like if you choose to embrace those things and to essentially sign off on the capitalist side of it and say, like, yeah, let me take all of the attention because ultimately it's going to get me more of what I want.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, and so I hear what you're saying, Andre. Like, I think I look at it again, right? We've talked about separating the art from the artist. And I think with Kanye, that's a way that you can look at it too, right? The individual Kanye, I've seen him live long before he was, like, you know, married to a Kardashian. And it was not a super entertaining show. Like, I've talked about it before. The guy basically treated it as, like, a rehearsal and kept stopping the show. He spent 40 minutes at one point playing 2-minute clips of songs he'd produced and then just saying, yeah, I produced that. Like, that was his show, right? It wasn't super entertaining. But I still look at it and I'm like, I mean, Gold Digger was freaking, like, that was a good song.
It was a dope song.
Like, I'm still going to jam when that comes on the radio. But yeah, like, I think both can be true, right? I think we can celebrate the artist and for what he was able to create, but at the same time, still reserve some level of criticism when we feel like that artist has maybe step beyond. But I mean, I don't know, like, who are we to judge this person, you know?
It's an opinion, right?
I personally
choose not to be like, yo, like, for example, this is controversial. You got R. Kelly, you got Michael Jackson, right? Both did heinous things.
Well, the only one, the only allegedly Alfred, and the other was convicted in
court, sure,
but yeah,
in the, but
yes,
but
yeah,
his
I gotcha.
Yeah, okay. Ultimate, at the end of the day, it's kind of like, yeah, but people are still, like, rocking with him.
But also, like, I mean, you know, like R. Kelly.
Oh, but he died.
No, like R. Kelly.
I'm not excusing
either. No, I
think either.
R. Kelly is way more excusable than Michael Jackson.
These are easy people to. These are
peed
easy
on
people
people
to make
I'm not, like, that's whatever.
I'm not. I'm just saying, like, legit, like, I don't put anybody up on a pedestal like that. That's all I'm saying.
And
the second part to that is that I look at it from my perspective, and I found this very interesting, that in the Black community, that the people that we have that give a voice to our community are typically entertainers. The minute they slip, they get persecuted and drugged through the mud quick. Like, super quick. So for me, it's like, maybe you shouldn't believe all your own press and keep yourself, try to stay humble. Like, for in my point back, going back to J. Cole, I was not a big J. Cole fan. So I listened to, like, one of his CDs albums a couple years ago, listened to the lyrics. I'm like, yo, dude, he can flow. then I started doing, like, looking into what type of person he was, and he's a real cat. I'm like, yo, that's dope. But what's funny is that he gets the most ridicule currently because he's not doing the tomfoolery that everybody else is doing. So it's like...
And he's a big NC State fan.
Sure. Be that as it may. But it's...
Can you do a counter every time you drop one like
no,
that?
No, I wish we could.
I think
could,
that's three.
But he always does that. But so I'm not trying to crap on Kanye. I don't really care. I'm not trying to crap on J. Cole. I really don't care. I'm just saying, like, in some levels, like, you got to kind of, like, own what you do. You got to own
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. I think that we're all – that goes unsaid, right? We're all here. We're like, yeah, you should own what you do. That's not the problem. The problem I think that is happening, and it's being popularized, is making fun of people that aren't doing all that bad or, like, horrible things. Like, it's too popular. It's freaking me out. It's like, if we all came together and we start to question the press, that would be cool. Like, that would be a lot more beneficial to our whole society. It's like, how much harm does a bad Kanye show or record do to the environment versus, let's say, the banks, let's say, the media, let's say, like, I think that we're so quick to, and that is controversial. It's not controversial to pick on Michael Jackson or R. Kelly.
Right.
But
you talk shit about Deutsche Bank and I think, like, you're absolutely right. There's a, I mean, we've talked about, like, the shell game, right, that gets played. And that's part of it, is it's like, no. We know that there's all this really horrible stuff going on, but what you should really be upset about is what Kanye said yesterday, right? And it's like the TMZ and all of this, like, the celebrity of it becomes so distasteful after a while. I think, like, you see it and it's hard not to get drawn into it a little bit, but then once you understand what it's really doing, it's so revolting, you know, like it's, and that's what, even in politics, like our politicians have become celebrities in that way. And that
they're wrestlers.
They shouldn't.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, this is all just for show. This is all entertainment. How do I entertain the crowd? And that is one of the most terrifying things to me, is I think we've to some extent, we've allowed ourselves to just be entertained and say that is enough, you know, and not all of us, but enough of our society here in America and abroad, that it's like, it's starting to really chip away at our ability to identify what the real problems are and focus our efforts on those things.
And know how to approach it.
I was telling my youngest son, and then we got into this, the conversation spiraled out of control. Like, the problem that we have in this country is that everything is like a marketing gimmick. Everything.
Don't blame marketers. We are good people at heart.
No, everything is selling. It is. Nothing is. It's just a high level.
But is that marketers' fault, or is it the fact that we live in a capitalist society where selling things is the ultimate value?
It's both.
Right.
It's both.
Well, okay, but ultimately, you wouldn't have marketers doing what they're doing if you didn't have the society that you've created for them to exist in. Like, they are a necessary evil for a capitalist society because you have to sell stuff. That's the whole point. So what do? You pay people to sell your product in the best way possible. Whether that means
here's the question.
Or
does everything have to be a product though? That's my problem.
Well, in a capitalist society, yes. Like, we have essentially deemed that everything, I mean, our healthcare is a fucking product.
Chris, NPOs are a product. Healthcare
is a product. NFTs are a product.
That shouldn't be a thing.
Like, but it is, right? I mean, this is what I'm saying is that we've commoditized everything. We've commoditized our own individual attention, right? Like, this is something that we fight for on a regular basis. We are trying to get people's attention to watch this show right here. Why? Because we think that more people watching this show means that we're doing more to help the world, right?
Joe?
That's fair.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
Joe has an opinion on NFTs, so please go ahead.
No, it's not opinion. I just want to know if you guys heard about it. Recently, just some random asshole in the world decided, I'm going to make NFT clip art of... You know, that's the thing. I don't know where, to me, when I see NFTs, I just think of you're buying clip art. That's where my brain goes. I go to Windows 98, bullshit. Yeah. Where's Clippy? But But we're actually, as we all probably saw this was going to happen, people are making NFTs of other people's imagery without their consent. So right now, somebody went to, like, they made an NFT image, a little GIF of every, like, well-known YouTuber. And they're selling it.
Damn.
And now these YouTubers are like, what the fuck? We didn't even consent to this. You're selling our likeliness and all that. You know, there's no legislation stopping.
I didn't see that.
Right. So there's the thing
that's how grassroots I am, man. I get the news on the bottom end. These guys are up here about national shit. I'm like, nah, man, little shit.
That's a good example. That's a good example, really quickly. That's a good example of, like, Dad, we talked about this with, like, gun laws. It's like the idea would not be to ban guns, like, because we already know how to make them. People know how to make them. If you want to make them, you'll make them. If you want to get them, you'll get them. The idea would be to make people that don't shoot up schools with guns. And like that's tough, but it's like it's like that's the problem. We're getting, like, back to Chris's point. We're getting a little bit like, and I think it's intentional, very intentional.
Yes.
Why are instead of seeing the world as, hey, this is pretty good, what's making it bad, how can we stop that from happening, we're getting convinced to say, hey, everything sucks, we need to change our whole structure so that it sucks less, and it's like our artist's problem, and it's like our politics problem. It's like our politics are pretty fine. It's like they're pretty fine. Some people can't do what they want to do, so they're trying to bribe people to make other people think that they need to, like, change the law so that they can do it, so they can make more money for themselves and whatnot. But it's,
I would probably argue with you on that. Our politics are fine. Statement personally, but
the sentiment is
comparatively.
I hear what you're saying, right? Like the system itself isn't necessarily broken, but it seems like if nothing else, what we've done is we put a bunch of broken people in charge of it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that, like, here's one thing that kind of tipped me off to my frustration with our 2022 modern capitalism. So NFTs, for example, or let me start broad and then narrow it down, and then I'm going to be done. We're talking about Web 3.0. We're talking about the metaverse and the idea of decentralize and democratize information and access to X. The reality is, that's not true, because the people that are going to run the servers that do all these things are the same companies. They're AWS, DigitalOcean, and God knows who else. NFTs, most of the stuff is run through a company called OpenSea. They use their API to kind of decrypt and analyze whatever the NFT is. That is a Ponzi scheme beyond Ponzi schemes.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it is not decentralized. No.
Neither is blockchain and all of the Bitcoin stuff. Like, none of that is decentralized. It's all a scam. Like, I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, like, all of that stuff is a scam to get you to invest in it. Now, did you hear about the Top Shots thing? You remember that? So, like, a year ago, they had the online digital trading cards, right? You could go on and buy the video clip of LeBron James, you know, dunking a certain dunk, and then you own that clip. To do what? Like, I can literally go on YouTube and watch that clip 100,000 times in a row, and you don't get paid a fucking cent for it. And yet morons went out and dumped hundreds of thousands of dollars into this stuff. And that's exactly what this other stuff is. It's all just a huge fucking Ponzi scheme. Like, people are scamming you, and you are so gullible that you're just like, yes, please, take my money. I don't give a fuck. Like, my child's college education means nothing to me if I don't own that LeBron James dunk.
Yeah. Well, and it's all in an effort to equalize the wealth inequality that is crazy. By the way, crazy. And also, I think a lot of artists are scamming. A lot of artists.
Say that one more time.
Wealth inequality is crazy.
No, he was saying that it's an attempt to stabilize. Yeah, so like the effort, economy, basically to
No. Like the people
inequality.
The people that are investing in these things are like their heart is in a good place. It's like they just want to have. Well, some of them might spend money on stupid things, but they want it so that they can. Let's just say they want more money.
Yeah.
Which is, like, understandable, sure, why not?
In a capitalist society, yes, it makes sense that people want more money.
Yeah, and...
Some money.
Yeah.
Well, but some money that is.
But
more
a lot
than
of people want more. Yeah.
Well, what a
so
in.
Something Damn. Something I've been saying for years is that ethnicity is less likely the problem in society. It's classism.
Sure.
And I've been saying this for a number of years.
Yeah.
The more you can, the more people that are in need, the more some people say, or they have more financial prowess and power. And I think that when you look at these, you know, things like Bitcoin or even the meme stocks or even, you know, all these little things that have been happening in the last 2 years, it's just exasperating the fact that we don't have a clear compass of what we're trying to
do. Well, because there isn't, in our existing society, there is no longer, I don't think, there was a point where in America, right, you worked hard, you paid your dues, you got paid, you had a house, you had a family, blah, 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 right? Like, that was enough. We've reached a point now where that doesn't exist anymore,
right? They
tell
us that was...
That died
that
was the narrative.
It died in the mid-80s.
But it has been the narrative that is something we should all continue to strive for, right? If I work hard enough, if I keep my head down and I plug along, then eventually good things will come my way. I will be rewarded for that effort. And that's not the case anymore. And so what you end up with is a lot of people who are looking for the shortcut because they see everybody else as like, oh, they took a shortcut. Oh, they took a shortcut. This is something that, like, I mean, I know my dad listens to this podcast, so I don't want you to take any offense to this, Dad. But, like, I think he struggles with this sometimes where he has looked at it as like, I see everybody else finding these opportunities and they make it big, right? Because they happen to be in the right place at the right time or because they happen to get behind the right idea. And so he's been kind of like chasing that for the majority of his life. Like the jobs that he's had that were good paying jobs and a decent thing eventually became like, this isn't it. I'm not making the huge money. Everything isn't perfect the way that I want it to be. And so now I have to go find something else. And it's like a never-ending quest, right, to just have more, in part because there was a time where that became so, and I think you're right, like the 80s really was where like this commercialism, right, like it's all about what you have. And it was kind of like, I think part of it was a rollback from like the hippie movement of the 60s and 70s, right? It was all about like, decentralize and you know, everybody should, like communism, socialism, everybody should have what they need and not need for anything. And then it was like, nah, you hippies were crazy. Obviously, what we need to do is everybody has to work super hard for everything that they possibly could earn. And even then, they don't really deserve it.
The hippies believed that until they got hungry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, really, really quickly, I think what just from my generation, how I see an issue that's happening is like our kids are trying, we're barely kids anymore, but relative to the people who have like financial power, corporate, whatever power in politics, we're very young, we're kids. So we're outsiders in that regard. But it's like we're thinking like, oh, it's a systematic problem. I would look at like our structure as a nation as a tool. Again, like an AK-47 or an assault rifle is a tool, and the thing is not to stop the tool from being a tool, because probably someone will create it again. The idea is, how do we make people that aren't going to do what we've done with our current society with this tool? So, like, you know, Dad, my favorite or my least favorite person in America is Jeff Bezos. It's like these people that are doing these horrible things in excess. And then what makes it even worse, back to my like democratic thing, which is probably misplaced, but it's like where they say like with a smile, like this is for you guys. Like, hey, these are the best jobs that there are. This is the best way. This me bringing you this stuff to your house is just the way that's good for you. You know, now I think like if you go out, like you ask an average kid, they have these really weird personalities where like they don't feel connected. Like there's like suicide rates that are through the roof. And it's a weird time where like people are not feeling connected. They're like so disoriented because it's like crazy. If you were to tell a kid in like, I don't know, some like ice covered place in Russia that like I'm upset, they'd be like, what are you talking about? I thought you were in like the land of opportunity. How are you possibly upset? And again, brings me back to what I think is the main problem of the people that are setting the thermostat for the environment that we're living in. that are like, for it's in their best interest that we keep grinding, we keep wanting more, we keep spending, we keep doing all this stuff. We stay separate from each other so that we need more like digital connection or whatever. But it's hurting the people. And I think that they've honestly, I think they've equated. They're like, they've done the math. They're like,
it's hard to build anything when you're always starving.
Yeah, exactly. But like, we don't have to be starving. Yeah. And I think like it sucks so bad because they're like, no, this is the way it has to be.
Right.
Like, we have to do it this way.
Yeah.
And it's so disorienting because the idea of being gaslit or someone's like telling you a lie and you're like, wait a second, are you lying? And then they're like, no. And it's like doubly disorienting because, right, one, they're giving you the false information. Two, they're telling you that your senses are completely, you know, they're completely off. So,
well, I'll say this, and let's because we can probably talk about this for like another 2 hours. I if you have time next week or sometime soon, Chris, I'd love to have you back.
Yeah, seriously,
on.
This cool. was
I think
awesome.
That you bring a pretty good point, and in my mind, I have thoughts on what that looks like. But I will say, like, just my closing on this is you're not wrong, but I would be wrong to equate it to either political system. It's not a partisan issue because both are equally at fault with that. And I would, you know, just in my experience and just, you know, my worldview of that, I would love to have you back if you have time sometime in the near future.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
But I think that you brought up some pretty good points, and maybe we can definitely talk about, you know, some of our societal barriers and how do we, you know, kind of talk about it as obviously four different age groups. Because
now we're the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
I was going to say, you don't want to miss my ass whooping.
Yeah,
it's brewing.
Yeah, we can definitely talk about this next week. We make it. Let's all commit to that. Let's just like call it the hey, this is the world from four different points of view, and see where it ends up.
Sure.
But I do want to. This is because I in my mind I have like 20 things to say.
Did it seem, man? We went from music to world economics.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. That's what we do on this podcast. Like we take it wherever it goes. So.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of my artistic.
Heard of our conversation about clowns.
Yeah.
Well, if I paint it out as too cynical thing for the people listening, if it's like, oh, the world's over, the idea is my final, like the way I see it is like no one has ever tried to pull off what we're trying to pull off in America. So that's like an inspiring thing as far as bringing people from all over the world, trying these new things, equality, all these ideas. They're cool ideas. Well, not equality. Equality is kind of difficult, but like. the idea of America is a new thing, so it's normal. If anyone's ever tried to start a new thing, it doesn't go out well all the time. It doesn't go well all the time, so don't want to.
Yeah, the British love making
there.
Jokes about how, you know, we're a fledgling country and we're going to go through some hard times.
They're roasting their PM
but
right
seriously,
now.
But just from last little thing, like I think America's an idea, right? Like more than anything, like it's an idea about what we could be. Like it's a goal. Something for us to aspire to. It's not where we are right now. You know, like even when the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence were written, you know, we believe that all men are created equal. They wrote that even though in their hearts they didn't believe that. They didn't practice
right.
that. Yeah. Right? But
some of y'all are 3/5.
No, right, but they could have written that, right? Like they could have said all white people are created equal. All white men are created equal. No, like they said, fuck it, we're going to write this even though we're not going to live up to this expectation yet. And I think to some degree that's where we are in America. We aren't there yet, right? Like we all have to keep working, but there's a part of us that feels like, no, we've already achieved that long ago. Why haven't we just gone back to doing it the way that we did before? And I think the rest of us are like, y'all are crazy. We're never, ever, ever going back to that. So,
yeah. So let's go to a segment where, and Chris, we're definitely going to have you back, both of you Chris's, so we can talk about this more in depth.
I can stay on my own podcast.
really keeping to that name of the Chris and Andre show.
So another kind of I guess a segment that I want to try to continue, like I want to give people their flowers while they're here. Mm-hmm. We've lost like as a society, as a group of people, we've lost a lot of people. Sometimes you don't say good job to people a lot, right? Like I know when I was in charge of teams, I had to remind myself to acknowledge that people did a good job. So I want to make sure that people I listen to, I check out your content, whatever, I read your articles. And I want to call this, you know, people I rock with, basically. So in the music side,
my segment.
Hello Yassine is a YouTube channel that's got a lot on hip hop. My dude has some fire videos, so I want to give you a shout out and definitely say, yo, keep doing what you're doing. It's insightful. I really appreciate it. In my white noise section throughout my day where I'm working and I'm pounding stuff out, I've been listening to a lot of people. You're one of them that's kind of like cut back on my music. So, but I do enjoy listening to the stuff you put out. So thank you. I also want to give a, like, I can't do a donkey of the day because it's already done, but like, yo, what are we doing? There's the hip hop daily YouTube channel. It's all AI. It's not a person, yo. Like in the first video I listened to, I was like, yo, that's not a person because it said Toronto. And then it said the artist Drake. Actually, I was like, oh, it's enunciating every word in the, like every syllable in the, in, or I don't know how, what the breakdown is, but
well,
totally. It's funny that it happens, but the Hip Hop Daily YouTube, you guys get like, what are we doing? I don't know what to do with that.
I like that.
Then for some stuff I've been listening, like I listen to routinely about comics, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, DC Universe or lack thereof, even the CW stuff, Everything Always, the YouTube channel is amazing. A lot of good stuff comes out there. The guy's always breaking stuff and, you know, breaking news and a lot of plot points. So thumbs up to you. Everything Always, Emergency Awesome. And Chris, this is probably why I always used to get it mixed up, because it's like EA, Everything Awesome could be Emergency Awesome, or it could be Everything Awesome or Emergency Always. I'm like, I don't know. But the Emergency Awesome channel on YouTube, thank you for all the stuff you put out there. War Stew, he was always trying to interject himself as the next Wolverine in every video he does. So I think it's hilarious because he'll say, well, Chris Evans will be coming back in as to do like a new Marvel project for the Nomad series, and they're saying, you know, Chris Evans, possibly War Stew, and he'll name off, like, you know, like
himself playing and Wolverine. That's great.
Yeah. So I think it's hilarious. I think it's dope. So thank you. That's a lot of dope content. And this new guy just got put onto Nerdy Before It Was Cool. Yo, his channel is bananas. I watched his video about the Arrow show on the CW, and like, real talk, everything you said about it, I was like spot on, agreed with. I'm like, yo, my dude, it's like you read my mind. So thank you guys for, you know, putting all that great content out there. It's like people are listening. So I think you guys are doing a great job.
All right, I have two that I want to add to the list. Am obviously wearing my super easy, barely an inconvenience shirt here that Andre is very upset about that I didn't send it to him, apparently. I'm supposed to buy him things and just send them to him randomly. But
or at least send me a week, yo.
But Screen Rant, Pitch Meeting, Ryan George is the guy's name. Absolutely hilarious. Like some of my absolute favorite YouTube content out there. The other one that I just recently got into is Cinema Wins. So Cinema Sins does the Everything Wrong With series. Cinema Wins does the Everything Great With series. So it's literally the inverse of it. So while I do absolutely love watching Cinema Sins and everything that is wrong with every single movie, every now and then it's nice to watch like the Thor Ragnarok one and be reminded like, no, I do love this movie. Yeah, there's some stuff that isn't perfect about it, but fuck, there's some really great moments in it. So
like everything.
Yeah,
like everything
I know.
Is wrong.
But
with
anyways, me. Those are my two shout outs for the week. So or things I rock
that
with.
That is not Beta Ray Bill.
It was in Thor Ragnarok.
So that is everything we rock with, and we really do appreciate the guys that are putting out great stuff. We're gonna always try to shout people out.
Can I add some?
Yeah,
I'm a huge YouTube guy. I'm always trying to hook people up to good pages. There's this one guy named Jake Tran, T-R-A-N, and he does some really interesting deep dives on like historical stuff that brings. I mean, he does some cool stuff on China, certain things like that. He has a cool page. And then there's Mo Fax. There's a guy from Durham, actually, who does this great show with Adam Curry, who's known as the Podfather. And he does some cool stuff. He just did a cool deep dive on the Duke lacrosse players, and they kind of deconstruct how the media covered it. It's like a 3-hour podcast. It's pretty interesting. Then there's the Adam Curry No Agenda show, which is really great. He does with a guy out in Silicon Valley that has some cool takes.
No doubt.
Yeah. That's awesome.
No doubt.
Check those out.
Yeah, so, yeah, the Chris and Andre show, we're going to definitely give people their flowers while they're here standing. And, you know, we're going to definitely – I'm going to definitely try to commit to anybody that just caught my ear or caught my eye. I'm going to definitely shout them out. And we encourage people to do that. Like, you know, we lost a lot of people this year, and I'm sure
– It hasn't even been a month yet.
I know, right? It's true. That's, like, real facts. Mm. I mean – like, I always tell my kids I love them when I see them, and because I want them to know, like, you know, a pink elephant could take me off the road one day.
I tell my kids the same thing.
You better stop talking to me. Because there's one person in this house, if that is a fact, and you have not told her,
yeah,
you are dead. There is death.
That was great.
Death is on your...
Thank you for that, Chris.
Death is on the calendar. So, as always, thank you for hanging out with us. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud or Spotify or any of the audio places, check us out on YouTube. Like and subscribe. Hit the notification bell. We would really appreciate it. And if you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe on SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, Google Podcasts. Tune in on our website, the new ChrisAndreShow.com. No, you can actually get an RSS
feed.
It's
not the new ChrisAndreShow.com. It's just ChrisAndreShow.com. Updated. You're giving them the wrong address. I don't want people typing in the new ChrisAndreShow.com.
You're right.
It's like you need another domain you got to purchase.
The updated site on ChrisAndreShow.com. There's an RSS feed. Subscribe. Put our podcast wherever you want to find it. And if we're not saying where you want to like listen to us, let us know. We'll definitely do that. Send us an email at comments@ChrisAndreShow.com. We love doing this. We're going to keep doing this every week. Chris is actually out of state right now, not just out of town.
Not just out of mind.
No, I am halfway across the country, but I brought my shit with me.
Yeah, we've definitely got to keep this up and going. And we try to do that because I believe and we believe that we try to help each other become better people one conversation at a time.
One of these days I'm going to get Andre to like James Gunn, and then he'll be a better person.
And Picasso.
I mean...
And Picasso. You know, that really, though, that does...
Go to your room. Go to your room.
Think, like, man, James Gunn must be really good if he's on the same level as Pablo Picasso and Andre's mind.
Or not. But you can always follow us at Chris and Andre on Twitter and on Facebook. Send us comments again at comments@ChrisAndreShow.com. Man... comments at ChrisAndre.com.
ChrisAndreShow.com.
Gosh.
He's gibberished. He can't think straight.
I'm
send us comments at ChrisAndreShow.com. I'm Chris at ChrisAndreShow.com. And
I'm I'm Andre at ChrisAndreShow.com. And I'm flustered.
He's gonna punch me the next time he sees me.
Me too.
Joe, thank you as always for hanging out with us, and thank you for being in that circle.
I know you like saying thank you, but eventually I'm going to get you to hate me. I'm getting closer. I'm finding what your weak points are.
You don't want that, dude. That's not a good look. Chris, I love you, bro. Thank you for hanging out with us, and thank you for being yourself and even doing the little Picasso jabs.
Yeah. That was great.
And I always say this, like, my kids, like, I'm the same person in public and private, right, Chris?
Yep.
And I don't
better
like,
or for
and
worse.
I want my kids to yeah, and it's like sometimes it goes south,
hey,
man.
No. Now we just need to get all your kids here for a roast, for Andre roast.
No, I would do that.
That doesn't go.
That would happen naturally on its own. What do you mean?
Right. No, it was really fun. Joe, it was nice to virtually meet you, man. I think we should do it again. If we can do it again, that'd be fun.
Oh, yeah, man.
I'm here every time they let me be here.
Oh, cool.
He's here as long as his court dates don't get in the way.
Right. On a side note, this is a huge victory for me. This is from 2010. It was broken and shattered by people who broke into my house back then. I just had the nerve after so many years to put it back together. And it's complete. Dude. Oh, it's motorized. It walks on its own.
Well, so that next time for have people to listening to audio,
Hell no, I won't. This is a private stash. Now, I just showed you everything you needed to see, sir. It's going to go in the box. It's going to go on a stand. Ain't nobody ever going to touch it again because this thing falls apart faster than I do when I go to court.
Star Wars. As always, I'm Andre.
I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you next time.
I have to admit, though, none of you guys saw or expect to see John Cena's naked ass in that new show, huh?
Are you kidding me? That was the one thing I knew I was going to see. I'm surprised.
Really?
He just came in. Thank you.